This is Cats Podcast, episode number 34. Welcome back to my podcast. It's been a while. Let's say I had a creative pause. Maybe you can relate. Sometimes things don't feel right or as joyful as they should or have. And so I took a step back and put producing new episodes on the back burner for a while. But now I'm back and I'm very happy to bring to you a new Freedom Lifestyle edition. So for those of you who are new here, the Freedom Lifestyle edition or series on my podcast is where I portray people who have a special connection to freedom and who a lot of the time have chosen to live a life that's off the mainstream track. A life that is rather unconventional, that is filled with meaning, and that inspires others to live their freedom and purpose too. And the current push for me to do more Freedom Lifestyles editions is actually that I've met a lot of people over the past months who are doubting the job they've done for a long time and who are in that transition phase of going from a permanent job to being self-employed or going from a permanent job into a deliberate in-between space. And I feel that telling these freedom stories here can be such a powerful source of inspiration. So now to today's show, my guest is Marie Warnhöfer. She's a hypnotherapist and holistic lifestyle coach living on Bali. And I came across her a little while ago through my Bali connections. So hypno what, you might say? Hypnotherapy is, in short, a healing modality, a form of inner work that helps you let go of anything that keeps you from living a fulfilling, healthy, and happy life. Topics addressed can be traumatic experiences, destructive inner beliefs, negative relationship patterns, burnout, anxiety, stress, lack of self-worth, and other things. And while hypnotherapy is really quite fascinating, you guess it, it wasn't the actual reason for why I wanted to have Marie on. First and foremost, it's her special connection to freedom, the way she perceives freedom, that made me stop and reach out. I knew she'd be an amazing guest for this podcast, for my Freedom Lifestyle edition, and so here she is. Enjoy this deep talk on freedom, healing, and reconnection. I'm very happy to have you here today, Marie. Welcome from the north of Germany to Bali.
Thank you for having me, Kat.
So let's just start with a big question. So what is freedom for you? Let's dive right in.
That's a big question. And I think everybody is answering that question differently. For me, it's especially freedom. Freedom actually is to know and to live your true nature, so your true self. And that also contains that you and most of us have to rediscover and reconnect with our true selves as the true self is a lot of times hidden underneath layers and layers and layers of traumas, conditioning, expectations, whatever is around us.
That's a very beautiful definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess that comes from my life experiences and from the way that I was feeling in the past, basically, like living a life that was not in line with my true self, and then going to therapy and doing a lot of inner work over and over and over again over many, many years to actually discover my true nature and my true self. And interestingly, that true nature is not very far away from how I remember myself being as a child.
That's very Ayurveda. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, I find it's one of the, not the basic statements in Ayurveda, but I think When we look at our types in Ayurvedic terms, it helps to look back to our childhood, because in our childhood we were more in our true nature. We were less influenced, less spoiled by society and conditioning and so on.
Yeah.
So
That's very true. So like I actually never, if some of you might know the doshas or not, but there's like a system in Ayurveda that basically tells you a little bit about your personality and your constitution, to put it very easily. And in line with Ayurveda, I never got them tested, but I'm quite sure that I had a big Pitta and Vata part, or still have it. And this is more the airy part and also the fiery part. And that is also who I am today. That's why my practices, if it's yoga or meditation or my time in nature, is focusing a lot on grounding. So really like keeping my feet on the ground.
Yeah, I can relate very much to grounding. It's one of the things that I need a lot as well.
Yeah,
I literally feel that the connection to earth is what helps me stay stable and very close to my core as well. That's actually interesting. I mean, we didn't plan to talk about Ayurveda, but I just find it so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So when you say you're this like Pitta Vata type and you feel you're back to this nature now, what do you think, what got lost while you were working in the corporate world in banking? Mm-hmm. Were you more, was the Pitta like highly elevated, or what was out of alignment?
So I would say that the Vata, like both Vata and Pitta, were out of alignment, but Vata more in terms of, it got harder and harder for me to concentrate, and I was just not, like Vata became so strong that I was really not having any connection to the downward moving energy anymore, so to ground, being grounded. Mm. And the Pitta got out of balance, but more in a term of suppressing it. So like that whole part of willpower and that whole fiery part that I had became very, very small. And I was like, for my level, and I was like basically following a path that other people would objectively find to be the right path. But for me, that would not have been or wasn't the right path. So this is what made my Pitta go very, very low, I think. My willpower in terms of achieving, in terms of doing things, was not on a natural level for me.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting that you're saying that about the Vata, that the Vata really got out of alignment. And that you couldn't concentrate and focus properly anymore. Maybe we can touch back on that later on. So, I mean, I know your story. We had a little pre-chat, but for all of those listening, so I'm having you on because I feel that your story of freeing yourself from a job, from a job and a life that didn't align with you, freeing yourself from the corporate world. I just love telling these stories. And in my here in the Freedom Lifestyle Edition, I have told a lot of those stories, but I think we can never have enough of these because they have, or they give so much inspiration to others. And I feel that there are so many people out there who feel that something is not right, or maybe they feel already out of alignment, but they either don't have the courage to change or they don't know how to do it. So I feel just by listening to someone who's made this step and who's, well, leaving the corporate world is just one, like one path, but in your way, or in your case, it was the way that's connected to you living your truth. So I'd love you to dive a little deeper into your own story and tell us how you How you got to Bali, hypnotherapy, and living this much freer and more aligned life.
Yeah, it's actually a pleasure to share it, because I hope to help and inspire a lot of people to also take that step if they are feeling that there is something not in line with themselves and their own values. So to begin with, I actually like had a, I mean, I had a very, very normal and nice childhood, and I had a very easy time in school, actually always getting A grades very, very easily without studying a lot. Like it always came to me just like that. I didn't have to put a lot of effort into achieving what society thinks to be desirable. So I finished high school in Bavaria in Germany with very, very good grades. So I could have gone to any university studying any subject that I would have wanted to. And back then I was 18 or 19. And there was already like this part of me that was like indecisive. Like I was like, oh, maybe I study psychology or maths or business or I just don't do any of this. And I just traveled down south to South Italy and help street children. So these were my options and what I eventually decided, because I couldn't, I just couldn't decide which subject it's supposed to be. For me, it was clear that I had to go to university. Was okay, I don't go to any university, I just go down to Italy. And when I made that decision, like just a couple of weeks later, a good friend of mine who was studying in Switzerland back then already called me and asked what my plans are and this and that. And so I was, and he told me about this university he was going to, which is a very well-known business university in Europe. And he just recommended and said, yeah, do that. What is it, like an application test and see if they take you. And I was like, yeah, why not? Switzerland is like Austria. I have never heard of that university before. I did that application test and I passed it. And so everybody was like, oh, like including my parents, oh, this is such a big chance if you get accepted to this university. Like so many people are dreaming about this, go there, do that. So I went to this university. And after half of a year studying business administration, I already like were close to burnout, but more bore out. So I was intellectually very, very bored, and I hated my fellow students. Unfortunately, I just hated this attitude, and it was just not my world. I didn't feel like I belonged there, and I wanted to leave this university and didn't. Because I actually like traveled to the United States planning to leave this university and finding out what I really want, and ran into the arms of my ex-boyfriend back then. So I fell in love with him, and he came from that tiny little town in Switzerland. fasting forward, it made me stay at this university and even finishing a master degree there. And so I had I still have a bachelor and master degrees in business and organizational development of a very well-known university in Europe. And so I started my career in the corporate world. It was just like a natural way of how things go, you know. When you finish like university there, everybody is like, oh, we want to go into like big corporations. And so I was like, okay, so this is what I got to do now. And I started my corporate career, climbing up the corporate career ladder, also being like talent of the year and this and that. But like starting this corporate career, I was already feeling that I didn't want to do that. There was a part inside of me who was like, I want to empower people. I want to help people. I want to work with people and really help them. And so I made up a lot of excuses actually in that corporate time to why I couldn't leave. I chose like the fields of organizational culture, leadership development, all of these things to kind of convince myself that I'm doing something good for the people. but it just never felt in line with me. And a part of me, like that part of me that knew all along, kind of fought for it the whole time I was like climbing up that corporate career ladder. So I always managed to convince my bosses to give me 2 to 3 months off every year to go travel. And I spend like each and every weekend high up in the mountains doing a lot of like very freedom orientated things. I actually never ironed my shirts, which was a big thing in the banking industry. That
that's quite a rebel move, right?
I know that woman. That woman with the tattoos, and the curly hair, and then she's not even ironing her shirts. That was a thing in the banking industry, and I was still. If it wasn't like a very important day, I would still wear my jeans.
I love that.
And lucky enough, I had the most amazing boss that was like my biggest fan and supporter and still a very good friend of mine now. And he was like, he was just letting me be, just making jokes about it, but he was letting me be. And otherwise, I couldn't have survived in the corporate world for 6 years. Yeah.
I was just thinking, yeah, it's good you noticed it. I was just thinking, it's a lot of the times I feel it's the people around us that make us survive in an environment, because I was in an agency and I loved the life the first couple of years, but I probably wouldn't have stayed that long if there weren't that group, if there wasn't that group of people that were like friends and that were really fun to be around with.
Yeah, this is also a need of all of us, right? A need for belonging and belonging to a community. And in our Western world, especially in countries like Germany, Switzerland, United States, it's very easy to belong to a community when you're following the same career path like the people around you. Mm. And following the same, let's say, beliefs and rules and also having the same definition of what a career is and what success actually is. So I think a lot of us stay in these jobs because there is a part of us that just wants to belong to a broader community.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Hmm.
Because leaving this world, like leaving this normal career path, I mean, you know it yourself, right? Also means leaving a world and leaving a lot of people behind that you're so used to seeing every day and to connect with on a like on whatever level. And once you free yourself from this, you're out there alone first. So you gotta rebuild a new community. And this can be a lonely path in the very beginning. And I think this is also another reason what scares a lot of people to actually leave a job and an industry that they hate or that is not in line with their inner, like, true inner self.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely a good impulse for a lot of people, I'm sure.
And to finish my story and to make it a little bit more inspiring for others, what actually happened through the 5 to 6 years in the corporate world is that there was always this part of me who wanted to live up to the expectations of society and bosses and my parents, or what I believed to be my parents' expectations, and to follow this corporate career path. But then there was this part of me who was always kind of seeking that freedom and my true nature. So what I was doing was traveling a lot, rock climbing and doing some crazy mountain adventures every weekend. I went to therapy like 4, 5, or 6 years on a regular basis. And so the closer I came back to myself, the more clear it was. And it was actually always clear that I wanted to empower people. But I communicated this only in my private life, so with my friends and family. but didn't really clearly communicate it in my professional life. So I always like assumed people would know that I didn't want to make that big corporate career, but I actually never said it out loud. And
so what was some of the most pressuring or pressing things for you? So what was really, can you speak to that a little bit?
So that I didn't leave earlier or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it that you felt inside that didn't align with your nature or how you want to live? But then maybe also the obstacles. So what was the biggest obstacle for you leaving that?
So, I mean, what was basically not in line with me was the whole world of corporations. So corporations, you have to imagine this is big systems, and in our world, there is big hierarchies in there. And what is basically playing out in these big hierarchies is that the people who, let's say, play out their herd inner child strategies in form of perfectionism, in form of urge for power or urge for need for control, are becoming the bosses in these hierarchies. And the people who are rather like me, like people pleasing and rescuer and so on, overachievers, are the ones who are the employees. And this is a very, very, very toxic relationship between the bosses and the employees. And I saw that from the very beginning on, that there is something not going well. And later on, when I was working as a consultant, like with a lot of big corporations, actually, I saw that in every single corporation that I was looking into. Like, this is not only a thing that I experienced myself, but this is something that is going on in every corporation. And that was one thing. Another thing was that I saw that these corporations were so focused on internal stuff and way less to the external. So a lot of times it's not about the product. It's not about caring about the clients. There's so much inner fights and politics and control and this really urge for power that people would just really be nasty to each other and now the English expression is missing, but really, really running over the employees. So So it's a fight for whoever is the project leader. And if one person gets the project lead, then the other person who didn't get it will do everything in their power to regain that project lead, like things like that. And until now, this is so not understandable to me that people can care about these things so much, or whoever gets the promotion, whoever has a higher salary, and all of these things that really are not in line with my soul. And then, of course, I mean, I didn't find any purpose, any meaningfulness in the work that I was doing. That is that was probably the biggest issue, that I didn't feel that I'm contributing to a better world at all. These were the things that pressured me the most, I would say. And the biggest obstacles actually to leave this world, as you were asking before. So one thing is, of course, that people, like that inner people pleaser that was very powerful back then, because I wanted to please the bosses, unconsciously, of course, but please the bosses, society, my parents. I wanted to fit in. And there comes plays the belonging to community also part of it. And another thing is that we're like, I feel like, because we all have freedom inside of us, we all do. It's our own decision to stay in a job that we don't like or that is not in line with us. And we have to take this responsibility over it. But if we don't, a lot of us like swim around in this victim mode, you know, like feeling, yeah, I can't leave, like building up these inner jails and inner excuses that are actually just jails that we create in our mind. So I cannot leave because I have to pay the debt of my house, or I cannot leave because I need to be a good mom and take care of my kids and send them to an expensive school, or I cannot leave. For me, it was I cannot leave before I didn't save at least 40,000 Swiss francs. And then a lot of people, of course, don't leave because they feel like they won't be successful when they're self-employed and for security reasons. So there's so many excuses that we're making up in our mind. I call them inner jails that are just actually bullshit. It's actually bullshit.
Yeah.
But we make ourselves believe it. And actually in a corporation world, you get told that a lot, like that it's so hard to be self-employed and you're going to have such a hard time and all the social security and insurances and benefits and blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff is going to be missing, and you're going to be poor when you're old and all of these things. And I think in a society that is very consume driven, it takes a long way to realize that it's not of a big value to me or to other people also to have a big house or a big car and all of these things. Yeah, that's for the obstacles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all what you've said, and I really like this term of inner jails. Because it is like this is the container we're putting up, the little box, the jail that keeps us stuck and that keeps us away from our freedom that we could live if we just stepped out. And it's just so fascinating that it's, let's say, 80% in our minds what we are that holds us back from doing something or from taking that step and leaving that job. And and also very, very interesting to hear that you actually saw that they are keeping up that story that it is so like so difficult to be self-employed and you don't have the safety or the security. And but then again, I mean, you know it, and I think a lot of the people listening know it, that you could be like fired in a snap. So it's not that it's like, oh, so secure your permanent job. It's not permanent. So nothing's permanent. Well, anyways, that goes into very sort of philosophical terms.
That's very true. And you know, people feel so stuck to this job and saying that it's so secure in Switzerland, you are not as protected as in Germany, for example, by employee law. So your employer can fire you at any time. You have a 2 to 3 months period of still retaining your job, but then you're gone. So there is not an employee protection law. So this is really, you're just a number. And this is something that people are not really, really aware of. And talking about the what you said about the mind, you know, with the jails that we build up in our thinking mind, at least the question is, what is actually lying behind these jails that we're building up? And a lot of times there is inner beliefs lying behind it, so really destructive inner beliefs either about ourselves or about society that are blocking us from resolving these inner jails. And also the lack of responsibility that we're willing to take, because when you step into your power and taking the responsibility for yourself, you cannot make up excuses anymore. Like excuses is a thing of victimhood. As soon as you're in your own power and in responsibility, there is no place for making up excuses. If you decide to stay, then this is your full responsibility.
Yeah, I love that you're pointing that out because it's so important. I feel that a lot of the mentality in our society, I mean, I can like primarily speak to to the German mentality, but I feel it's kind of rooted. Like it's never your fault. I'm exaggerating, of course, but it's never my fault. It's always the other's fault. Or yeah, and there has to be someone who's taking care of me. It's also the social system in Germany, I feel, where like, okay, now I'm unemployed. Now the federal government or the state is taking care of me. Now I'm sick. Now my health insurance is taking care of me. But yeah, so I feel it's very ingrained, this lack of responsibility.
Yeah. Let's
say that way.
Yeah. 100%.
So now your moment of liberation to inspire the people even more that are listening. So how did you get out of this situation?
The situation that I put myself into, that is better to be added. I myself had the full responsibility putting myself in there. So what happened actually is I was like more and more evolving, like doing trainings and whatever in psychological fields. And but also more and more trying to push myself into the field like organizational culture and leadership, so stuff that really had to do with people. And I was trying to convince myself that this is really good and I can like make a big normal corporate career in this field. And eventually I realized, okay, it is the banking industry. And actually this was, I was actually always saying, no, it's not the banking industry. It's all of these corporations. But my dad always said, yeah, but you've only been in that banking industry. You got to try out a different industry and things will be very, very different. And I was like, okay, maybe he's right. Maybe my inner voice is wrong. So I went into a consultant job. So basically consulting corporations all over the place from different industries in the fields of organizational development and culture. And what I realized there is that it was even worse. And I really got to the limit of myself. Like my hair was starting to fall out again. My body became very sick. My digestion was super bad. I had like constant issues with constipation. I had like really strong sleeping issues and like being in hyper arousal the whole time. And meanwhile, I was still like going to therapy for years and years and years and actually knowing very, very clear what I wanted. And I don't know why I didn't take that step before. But then one day I was like, that moment I was thinking, okay, 1 year more, then I have the 40,000 Swiss francs and then I can leave. One of my former bosses asked me the question, are you willing to actually have less private life, even more than you're having now? So less free time, less time off the job. And I was like, I just knew no. And it just came out. I didn't even have to like had to think about the answer. It just came out. No, I'm not willing to give up more private life, even more. I was working over hours already and doing things that I really like was not feeling in line with. And this answer just came from so deep within and was so liberating to say, no, you can play your games. And if this is your way of living, you can do so. But for me, this is not right. And of course, by saying no, I absolutely was aware of the consequences. But this was like such in line. My body, heart and soul were so in line that this no came out. And also I was so connected to my true self that never, not one single second since then, and that's a couple of years ago now, did I regret saying no.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so amazing to hear, so powerful. I mean, and I honestly get shivers like hearing these stories about these moments where you just say no or yes deep down from your core, and you just know it's the right thing and you don't think about it. It just comes out. And maybe afterwards there's a moment of shock, like, oh, did I just say it? But in that moment, it just feels so true. And
yeah, it was pure freedom. It was really pure freedom. I absolutely didn't expect it to be happening that moment, but I also didn't, like, I was caught off guard, of course. I didn't expect anyone to ask me that question naturally. But then this question was the biggest gift that I ever received in my life, because it gave me a chance, the same chance that I had after I finished high school, to choose what's right and wrong for me, and to really get asked directly. In that instance, I got asked directly, and I made that choice from deep within. And the choice was myself, my true self, my purpose, my freedom.
Mm.
Yeah. And then things went very fast. So I was like, okay, what are the options? And I actually didn't even write one single application for a different job. I was just like, okay, I wanted to do that for so long. I didn't save up the money that I planned to. And I have a wonderful apartment that I love, and a car, and family and friends. But I knew that I had to go. I had to leave and find that modality that I wanted to bring to the world, and to just set off. And so I quit my job, quit my apartment, organized everything within a couple of weeks, and left Switzerland in the beginning of last March. So right when the pandemic started.
Good move, in hindsight. Good move.
Yeah, that timing was really in line with a higher purpose.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. So just for the listener, so while you were in your corporate career, you were already studying, doing a lot of courses in psychology, right?
Yeah.
So you were already studying in that field, building up something that was really of your interest.
So I did a lot of courses and had a lot of certificates already, and included modalities like coaching and something even in the corporate world, because I had such a good boss back in the banking industry that would let me do it. And of course my whole life, also when I remember myself being super small, 3 years old, I was always the person who loved to connect with people and who is very sensitive to the emotions of others, and who wanted to help others and everything. But of course, as a kid, you don't understand that you need to help yourself first because you're actually able to help other people. And so while I was in the corporate world, I was going to therapy myself, and I say, and I still do it. So for me, going to therapy yourself, this is the biggest certificate that you can have for actually being a successful therapist. Because if you didn't resolve your stuff, and if you didn't go and do that journey and continuously do that journey, how would you be able to help anyone? So this was the biggest certificate. But then I would also try different modalities and do courses and all of these things. But I never really focused on getting self-employed while I was in the corporate world, in all honesty. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I just wanted to give a little bit of a background for the people listening so they know that you were already interested in that other field, and already just having a look around, maybe more for personal reasons, but somehow deep down also to bring out your message in the end.
Yeah. No, it was honestly not only for personal reasons. So for personal reasons, I had the therapists and tools that helped me most. And the looking around for courses and whatever was always with the goal to get self-employed in this field of psychology and therapy. But I just never really found the modality. So the approach of therapy that I would say that is mine, even after I had a coaching certificate and this and that, I was like, but this is not it. This is not it. This is not it that I want to bring out to the people. Yeah. And so this is what I did while I was in the corporate world. And then when I was in Bali. I stumbled across a very beautiful person in the yoga teacher training that you did as well, Kat.
Yes.
And without even by that time, I just knew what I wanted. I knew that I I wanted to be self-employed with therapy. And I knew that there is a modality out there that is in line with me, that goes beyond the death that I experienced so far. But I stopped searching. I really did stop searching. I just knew. And so I trusted that it will eventually come to me, because I decided for it to come. And so in the yoga teacher training, I got to know by now a good friend of mine and also a hypnotherapist. And I was like, okay, I have this issue with my partner, and what was it? I didn't feel listened to. And I was like, yeah, I just want to get over it and not feeling that frustration coming up anymore. And so I was like, can I do a hypnotherapy session with you, one or two, to kind of get over this topic? And she was like, sure. And I had this hypnotherapy session just for my own sake. And I was like, oh, shoot. That is my modality. I found it without even searching for it in that moment. I stopped searching for it, honestly. And yeah, that's how I found it. And this is what I believe to be true for all of us. Whenever we deep down in line with our true selves decide ourselves for something. So in my case, for actually being self-employed as a therapist. And we stop searching so urgently for something, it just comes to you very, very naturally. And this is true on all levels ever since I made a proper decision there.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I feel it's I don't know, for me, but I believe for anyone listening, it's just such a reassurance, it gives so much hope as well. And literally knowing this, it's like, okay, I can just relax for a second. I mean, you have to be clear about it somewhere inside you. So clarity, I think, is really a kind of a prerequisite, I would almost say. But then just knowing that you don't always have to go for it, run for it, struggle. No, once you're clear, there are points in life where you can just relax a bit and know that it's coming. So, trust,
It actually, there's this very famous saying and quote, right? You're always only one decision away from a very different life. And that applies to this in very deeply, because this is a inner decision. If one of the listeners, one of you, has this inner desire to do something, you really have to make that inner decision that this is it. And as soon as you're doing and making that decision, it will come into a flow that you can't even imagine. And then you just start to trust. It's just evolving and flowing. And you know that it will, everything comes naturally, very naturally to you. And no, it's not a constant struggle and surge. It's a very natural process, actually.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So then you found hypnotherapy, and pretty much since then you've been you did a training in that as well then, and
A 4-month long in-depth training here in Bali. And it came even in the training, after the first practice session, it was very, 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 very natural to me. It was just flowing. And so I did this training. It was very, very natural to me after the first practice session that this belongs to me. And it was just flowing. I didn't even have any former experience about it, but it just came out, and I could connect with the clients. I had all the tools from going to therapy myself and from doing these couple of courses that I did already. And it just without even consciously thinking about it, started to flow.
Wow. That's so beautiful. I think two things are coming together here. One, it's this like the thing that's connected to your purpose or your purpose coming through. So you're kind of naturally good at it. And then you have the experience, the lived experience, where there's just textbook knowledge. And I feel that's of so much value. And I believe in it because I'm the same, you know, I'm doing mentoring and I'm now that I'm finished with my yoga teacher training. I'm also incorporating the yoga more into the mentoring or the mentoring into the yoga. Well, it's a combination, but basically what's behind it, it's this lived experiences. So I've done the things, I've experienced the stuff, I've created more freedom and empowerment in my life. And then you can bring it out on a whole new level versus just, you know, having studied it and read about it.
100% agree. Like if you have the experience and if you walk down that path yourself, you're better than anyone else who studied it consciously. I do believe in that. And I see that in so many therapists, that the good ones are the ones who are the ones who walk down that path. If they have a degree in psychology or not, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And one more thing about that knowledge, I believe and I know from my own path that we all have this inherent knowledge inside of us that we maybe consciously don't have access to, but whenever we do something that is in line with our purpose, we suddenly know, and we don't even know why and how, but we know. And this is inside all of us. That's very, very important that everybody understands this, that we don't have to do courses and over again and have the craziest degrees in every field to actually live our purpose and be successful with it also.
Super important message. Thank you for stressing that again, for pointing that out. Because I feel this is also something that holds a lot of people back. They think they have to do another course. They think they have to get this or that certificate. And I know that in some countries, for example, in Germany, it's quite, you know, people are really looking at certificates. But I think it's good to know that really you don't need them. You just have to be good and know what you're doing in that what you're doing.
And trust yourself. Trust yourself that if you're in line with your purpose, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you should naively think that you can help a person who is like, let's say in the fields of psychology, like a person who is who suffers from eating disorder. Of course, you have to have some knowledge and experience about this before you are able to do that. But for your general jobs, I think it's very, very important that all of us access this inner wisdom that we hold within from places and spaces that we cannot even imagine, but we all have it and we all bring it. And there's so much more to us than this conscious knowledge that we're gaining through school and university.
That was actually, or we are actually on the right track here for the next question. You said so when you're in touch with your purpose, you just know and you can trust and you're just doing the things and it's flowing naturally. And now the question that might be coming up for some people listening is like, yeah, but how do I know what's my true nature? How do I connect to my real self? Because a lot of the times just taking the standard life, you know, doing a job, having children, going to the gym, doing this, doing that, social appointments, you're just in a flow, but you don't, maybe you really don't know, and you've literally lost that connection to your to yourself, to your true nature. So can you speak to that a little bit? How can we come back to our center from your experience, your own experience, but also the experience with your clients? And you have a lot of clients from the corporate world. So what can help people, you know, draw back in, come back to their center, their nature?
So that is a bigger question. So starting with the birth into modern world today, I believe that all of us already get some form of disconnection to our true selves. And this becomes more and more and more through the way that we're growing up, through conditioning, social media, pressure from family, culture, society, all of these things. In combination then with traumas, inner beliefs that we get just put on that are maybe not even our own inner beliefs, you know? And so we grow up like building up these layers and layers and layers of that are disconnecting us from our true self. And these layers and layers and layers are the things that we have to work through in order to get back to our true nature. And I always stress that it's very important to understand that every person has different techniques and modalities that work for them to get through these layers and layers and layers. But one technique or modality that literally does help everyone is therapy, of course, because we all have experienced some smaller or bigger traumas in our lives. Like whenever as a child we didn't get our needs met, a small trauma is already created. And that doesn't have to mean that the parents were doing a bad job. This is just naturally what's happening. And all of us are adapting inner or beliefs that come from our culture and our society, but are actually not in line with our true selves. And so therapy is a very wonderful way to work through these layers and layers of disconnect. Another way, wonderful way, is of course meditation. It's yoga. It's just spending time in nature and reconnecting with our true mother. This is my number one go-to, by the way, and will always be reconnecting with nature, because nature is our home and we're actually coming from nature. We are a part of nature. And finding back to your true self is really working through these layers and layers and layers of traumas, conditioning, inner beliefs, expectations, whatever distraction is around us. And this takes time. It is not something that is to be done within 3 months. It takes time and willpower, commitment, and but you will get there. Like everyone will get there. And then as soon as we're reconnecting, I mean, it's not like now you're reconnected and you always say reconnected. There's like, you know, there's constant distractions in our world. We're social beings. There's constantly expectations and beliefs and whatever around us, social media. But this, like, being as close as possible to your true self, once this is accomplished, you are able to really make these important decisions in your life that are so in line with yourself and your purpose, and to possibly leave a job or a family or whatever it is, a relationship that is just not in line with who you are, who you actually are.
What would you say regarding the people that come to you? What are the biggest obstacles for a lot of people coming from the corporate world, coming from a safe job or still working in there? And I know we've touched on it a little bit before, but maybe you already said, like, named a few buzzwords of overachieving, people pleasing. I don't know if this plays into it as well, of not being connected to yourself.
Mm-hmm. It does, because as long as we're playing out our childhood strategies, our herd, like the strategies that we like form as a herd inner herd child, or our, like to put it into parts therapy, the protector parts are playing the biggest role in our life. This is not coming from our center, from our true self. So whenever we have a strong desire for perfectionism or for controlling yourself or controlling other people, for overachievement, for people pleasing, that is a big, big sign of being very disconnected from your true self, because your true self doesn't need all of this. And so the corporate world, for me, out of my experience, has a lot of disconnection, and you can see it through that. And a different way to see it is that I actually experience a lot of employees who are super unhappy and who wish they could leave their job but make up excuses why they couldn't. So there's a lot of time spent in the victim mode. That is another sign, this victim mentality, like not being responsible for where your life is at this very moment. And then of course, because so many people are so attached to this fake security that we're building up in our societies and systems with insurances and so on, and safe jobs and all of these things, like being so attached to this security, a lot of people lack a lot of self-trust and self-worth. And this is all lying underneath, you know. 10 years back, if somebody would have told me like you're a people pleaser, I would have laughed and said, me? No. Even when I went to therapy for the first time, this was for one topic, for the fear of losing, that was actually like very destructive for my past relationship. So this fear of losing was so present that it was basically controlling me. And since it had control over me, I was like, okay, maybe that is something that I should work on. But this was the only topic that I was seeing, you know. I was like, okay, I just like get over that topic and then I'm done with therapy. Like, but now here I am believing that everybody should constantly go to therapy whenever they experience an issue or block in their life, including myself.
Yeah, it's I had to laugh because I was in a, well, kind of a similar situation when I was still working in the agency. So probably 1.5, 2 years in, you know, this very young, ambitious woman, and I was, I wouldn't say overweight, but I had like a few pounds more than I wanted. And yeah, and I had like acne on my face, and I was standing at a drugstore or at a pharmacy and telling the woman behind the counter, oh, I want this and that face wash. And I don't know. And she said, and I was complaining about my acne, and she said, maybe you have some, I think she asked something along the lines, maybe you have some deeper stress, or maybe something is bothering you. And I was like, or something else is wrong in your life. And I was like, no. And I was like, and maybe I was already feeling, saying that no, that it was not a no, of course. So that there was definitely something wrong. And yeah, it was just one of these situations that stuck in my mind.
And yeah, exactly. This is exactly how it is today, because we get so used to, this is normal that I have acne that doesn't have psychological or mental reasons. It's normal to have constipation or constant diarrhea. Like, it is normal to have sleep issues. In the corporate world, in all honesty, it is actually meant to be cool to only sleep 5 hours a night and to have a lack of sleep and to check your emails and to-do lists before you go to bed or even in bed. And today I would tell you, well, you should check on if you suffer from anxiety, you know. And this is the story that we create, and that comes to our body, the way that our body is reacting, like losing hair. I was like, oh, maybe it's because what did I say? Because I stopped taking the anti-baby pill, like the birth control hormones. So this was the fault. It was not the stress. And that I couldn't go to the toilet on a regular basis. I was like, maybe I don't drink enough coffee. Like, you know?
I love that one.
we're making up so many stupid excuses just to not see how unhappy we are. And especially in the corporate world, there's so many people suffering from all of these symptoms. And they're actually they're seen as desirable, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like wearing this, like, oh, I'm constantly checking my emails. I'm always with my phone. I'm even sleeping with it. It's like wearing that as a badge of honor instead of like saying, okay, this is deeply unhealthy and not sane in a mental way as well. So
exactly.
Yeah.
But be that person who says it there. I mean, I was also not the person saying it there, you know?
No.
It's so normal.
Yeah. And often you don't see it. You don't see that it's not normal and that you're actually going down a very unhealthy track. And when I remember back the first 2-3 years, I just thought it's very cool. It's just, you know, I was living off it. It was feeding me. It was like, yeah, I'm doing this career thing and I can do 10 things at a time. And yeah.
But exactly.
Yeah. As you said, it's in the end, it's bullshit. It's
yeah. And then like the clients are coming to me and I'm suffering from like a lack of focus and lack of concentration and don't understand why. Or as I said, really like severe sleeping issues from burnout symptoms, panic attacks, anxiety, all of these things, you know, and I wish there to be way more awareness in the corporate world that this is actually so dominant now, but no one talks about it. And like the maximum people would do is they go to a coach, and that is kind of okay to say that I go to coaching, but then mentioning that you really struggle and that you have anxiety and go and see a therapist. Nobody would ever talk about this.
It's actually crazy that it's still like this. I mean, maybe I'm also in this bubble, especially on Instagram, where everyone talks about living a mindful and conscious life, but maybe that's also just talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of Instagram is not mindful.
No, that's true. And I know I feel it myself when it's draining me. I know. And then I'm very aware of it, I would say. And of course, I have days where like I overdo the Instagram and then I know, okay, step back again. Mm-hmm. It's not good because it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did I want to say? Oh, yeah. I just thought, I really hope that, you know, COVID and the lockdown helped to slow down people. I don't really think so, but I still hope so. You know, also in that regard, that people like get behind it, that it's like, okay, maybe it's not good to be on 24/7. Maybe it's not healthy to constantly check my emails. Maybe I don't have to be available all the time.
I think there is like kind of two groups or two developments and evolvements through COVID. There is one part that we see now in the mental health industry that is booming, that people are admitting that they don't feel well and that they're seeking help, actually. And then there is another group of people, and these are the ones that are, actually where it got even worse, this constantly being online through working at home, So the borders between where is my private life and where is my professional life melted down even more. And just looking back over my years in the field of organizational culture and development, that there is no border between the professional and the private life, that was something that organizations were actually forcing. And they would hire mainly employees who are living that kind of a lifestyle. And this all got covered under the false promise of freedom, of course. So whenever you're willing to melt down the border between private and professional life, you can also like go for a run while it's working time and so on. And that false promise of freedom just led to people being available and reachable and working basically 24/7.
Yeah, it's a good point that you're bringing that up. Yeah. You definitely have to set in place boundaries early on. Or if you don't do it early on, do it later on anyways, but just be very strict about it. And I know that's a thing a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
And definitely stuff for another episode. I don't know. How are we time-wise? Do you still have a little bit of time? Can we dive into the healing topic a bit more, or should we just postpone it?
No, yeah? Sure. Let's dive in there.
Yeah. And I think it's really nicely connected to this, to the freedom part. So the first part of our conversation, because it's healing in many ways, or freedom and healing are in many ways so closely connected. And healing, you know, going on that journey, starting to heal ourselves also is really our capacity to live a truly free and truthful life. So I just want to touch on four subtopics, or let's call it misconceptions of healing. And that really may help listeners understand why they are stuck in a certain place on their journey.
Should I start?
For it.
Okay. So basically, just to make clear what I mean when I use the word or the term healing. So what I mean is healing is the journey back to your true self. So back to your true nature. And that is basically a lifelong journey. Because we all are social beings, we have distractions around us and that are trying to pull us away from our true selves. So it's a constant, I don't want to call it work, but in constant effort to stay connected and in line with our true nature. As we are on this planet and not being alone, we're connected also with others and with society as a total and culture and so on. And so I feel there's a misconception also being extremely sold by Instagram and social media, is that healing can be done through a program or within 3 months. Like there's always these 3 month programs. And one thing is how the, let's say, coaches or therapists or whoever is selling that program, of course, is putting it. In terms of you're healed after 3 months, basically, that is already false leading. But then there is also this expectation from people who are not very experienced in the fields of therapy and healing itself. So they're like, okay, I buy this program for 3 months and I do it for 3 months and afterwards I'm healed. And this is just not true. This is a journey and a constant path to walk on to really stay connected with your true self, because we are not alone on this planet. We are connected and we are influenced, and there are so many distractions on this planet. So I feel this is very, very, very important for everyone to understand who sets off on this journey, that this is a constant lifelong journey. But that also makes it beautiful, and it takes out a lot of pressure that that you have to be the perfect person or the perfect concept of a person after this 3 months program.
Yeah, it's interesting because perfectionism or having the perfect version of myself is also what came to my mind. You know, some years ago I had this idea that, okay, when I work on this thing and that thing, and after that, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't have to work on anything anymore. And it's, of course, it's not true. I mean, going deeper, you find more things, and it's, and also one of my latest realizations. So this is personal for me. Healing, I think, for me is so connected with accepting that this perfect image that I had of myself it doesn't exist. Mm. Or if it's scratched, it doesn't matter because that's me. The other thing is just the perfect image. But yeah, that's
it's
interesting.
Yeah, that's also a little bit of a tendency that we have as a whole society, is like having these perfect images of ourselves, of others, of whatever we're doing, that we're also like always striving for this perfect version. And what we actually don't want is a perfect version. We want to have a natural version, so a true version. And who says what is perfect and what is not? Our flaws are the same way perfect as our strengths. So the goal should always be to really come back to that natural version of ourselves and not to any perfect version. And I do agree that realizing this gives a lot of freedom. It actually gives a lot of freedom, because it takes off the expectations of yourself to be perfect after 3 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I really like that. And you phrased it nicely, the natural version. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what you want. And I think it also has to do with what you just said, those 3 months with this often, I don't know, subconscious or unconscious urge for instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Because 3 months, hey, well, that's a time frame that I can look over. It's not too far. It's I can sign up for that.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And that comes with that actually comes perfectly with the topic of commitment, right? So mm-hmm. Once you set off that journey, realizing that this is a lifelong journey, you really have to commit to your true self. So you have to commit to yourself that you're willing to do that walk and that journey, and that that this instant gratification will not be happening. There will be high ups when a person goes through healing and therapy or whatever form of modality he or she chooses. There will be high ups and moments where the person realizes, oh my God, I'm not reacting annoyed anymore. How did that happen? And other moments where you find yourself still playing out the same pattern and not understanding why. Or detecting, that is my favorite thing, detecting a new pattern. And this is just reality. We always find something that we could work on, not work on, where we could evolve actually, that will help us to be even closer and more connected to our true selves. And that doesn't mean that it's a constant hassle and a person really has to search constantly for something to work on. But this awareness is very important that this is, it takes commitment to walk down that path. And there will not be, sometimes there will be after 2 weeks a gratification. And sometimes it takes half a year until you see a difference.
Mm.
But looking back, when you stick with these 6 months and you look back to the version of yourself 6 months ago, you see it always.
Yeah. That's so good that you're saying this. And because it can be frustrating, you know, down the road. You're like doing the work, you're doing your yoga, you're meditating, and I don't know, for maybe 4 or 6 months, like you feel nothing is happening. But then all of a sudden you have this one day or that moment where it's like, oh my gosh, you look back and you see it. It's like, there's a difference.
And 100%.
That is so good. So yeah, thanks for reassuring the listeners that there will be kind of a gratification, but after just, well, no, not after 3 months, but after 6 or 9 or 12 or whenever.
Oh, and we all have these destructive thoughts and these weak moments, you know. Me personally, I had one a couple of weeks ago when I was like having a session with my long-term therapist from Switzerland. And I haven't seen her for 2 years now. And we're still very connected internally, but I just like use different forms of therapy that are available here in Bali. So I was stumbling across a topic that was very similar to a topic that I worked on with her for quite a while. And I was sitting in front of her and like in total victim mode and telling her, now I have to deal with that topic again. I thought I would be over it. I can't believe it. You know, me as a therapist myself, actually knowing what's going on, you know.
That's so funny. Eh?
And she just looked at me and she was just like, just look at the Marie 5 years ago and look at you today. Are you sure that there is no difference? And I was looking, oh my God, the situation like is very similar, but I'm dealing with it so much better and it's so much more easy and everything. It was just like my destructive like inner part that was playing jokes with me, telling myself to get into victim mode, not having enough sleep and sitting there and whining and complaining. And then I realized, oh my God, bullshit. There's topics that will accompany us for our whole life, but we get so much better in dealing with them, even if we encounter them over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Dealing and detecting them, right? You literally see them like coming up to you. It's like, oh, okay, the situation's okay. I know. Now I will go into that pattern. And yeah, it can be frustrating, but at the same time, you say you react or act from a different place because you know it, you're aware of that situation and you know your pattern. So
yeah, and actually like doing that work is also reprogramming your inner beliefs and your unconscious. So it's not only consciously knowing what's happening there and detecting it, but like the instant reactions when you do proper healing, the instant reactions to similar situations really do change. So the way that let's say today Marie was dealing with this fear of losing was completely different than the Marie whatever 7 years ago. But in that moment I was just seeing the topic fear of losing. And I thought, oh, again, and I'm so poor that I have to deal with it again. And so we all have these moments, but it's important to quickly get, if we cannot get out of these moments ourselves, we just need to like have somebody that puts the mirror up and ask you the question, are you really dealing with it the same way like 7 years ago or not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the same pattern or the same thing that comes up, but our reaction is so different after working on it. And
100%.
It's definitely good to
100%. I mean, like looking back, when we have these these strong patterns before we work on them, they basically have control over us. So these patterns, whenever you feel like you lose control over yourself and you're reacting very impulsively and having very strong emotions towards it, and that is something that should be healed. And after doing the work, the topic this is natural that we all experience a fear of losing. This is very natural. We're all human beings. But the question is, do you still react to it very impulsively, very emotionally, very out of control? Does it still have control over you or not? And in my case, I could say, no, it doesn't have control over me at all. I just wanted to whine and complain a little bit. Because I had to deal with this emotion of fear of losing instead of just dealing with it. So, it's very, very important to realize this and very wonderful and rewarding to see looking back on the own healing journey.
Thank you for sharing all these personal insights with us. Mm. I appreciate that so much, and I'm sure the listeners do as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think what we just talked about leads us perfectly into the third subtopic or misconception, which has to do with the, we've read all these self-help books, we've listened to all the podcasts, but somehow it doesn't work.
So this is the case that this does not work a lot of times, because I actually see that quite a lot with my clients, unfortunately. We have access to so much knowledge those days. Might that be through books, through podcasts, through Instagram, so on. And it's almost an overwhelm of information. And as a collective and as individuals, what we're used to do is dealing with whatever life throws at us with our rational mind, with our thinking mind. So we think, okay, I read this book. Mm-hmm. I think I understand myself. I see the pattern. I understand, like, from childhood, why I do it this and that way. And so now I need to be healed because I understand why, right? And then you see, this happens actually a lot with coaching also, like, not properly held talking therapy, like, that we consciously understand everything, but we cannot, like, nothing changes. And people feel so overwhelmed with the amount of information that they're having, the amount of tools that they're having, things that they're supposed to do, journaling and practicing gratefulness and this and that. And that all is held in the conscious mind. So, but what self-help books usually don't teach you is to actually go into your feeling mind. So go into what emotions are actually lying underneath it, even if it's written down there, but we're trying to access this intellectually, so with our thinking mind. And this is why so many people can read, even I have clients that read, that they know more theoretical knowledge than me, because they read so many psychological books. But they still, nothing changes. And the issue is that they didn't access these emotions that are trapped and stuck in the body. And no book can really help you to do that. This is a proper disconnect that our society experiences at the moment, that we really don't have any connect to our emotions and feelings. The only connect that we have, and I wouldn't even call that connect, is that when we're triggered and reacting impulsively, then an emotion comes out, maybe like rage, maybe like sadness in forms of tears. But we cannot detect that emotion. This is more an outburst. And so what is really, really important to understand is that our very anxious and very thinking-driven society has really problems with helping themselves through these books and everything. I can only recommend everyone to have a guide, a person, whatever it is, that helps you to reconnect with your emotions and feelings, because these trapped emotions and feelings from the childhood or from recent events are the pain points, that are the things that are causing the issues today.
And I'll definitely put your contact in the show notes too. So if anyone, you know, just letting you know at this point resonates with what you are saying and thinks, oh yeah, actually there might be something I want to talk about or work on and also have a deeper look into, then yeah, definitely connect with Marie.
Thank you.
And just touching on the fourth, is it a misconception? I'm just looking at my notes here. It's it has to do with our connection and the reconnection and the self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. And you said it so nicely in our pre-chat.
Yeah.
How to find the right tools.
Yeah. So that is also one thing with the overwhelm on information and modalities and tips and tricks and whatever is good for our mental health. There's so many teachers and gurus out there that teach this form or this tool and that tool. And there's always a very strong generalization coming with it. So like meditation is good for everyone and it's helping everyone, and yoga is good for everyone, and this form of therapy is good for everyone. And I don't believe in this at all. So of course, to know what is good for you, you have to go down that path and start to reconnect with yourself. But as a therapist, I think it's my obligation, my job, my task to lead the people back to their true self so that they can actually detect and find the tools that help them and that they can use in their daily life and that they're helpful for themselves. So that in the end, they actually don't need a therapist anymore on a regular basis, but that they're that they're in their daily life very, very stable. And if there's like a insecurity or something happening, they know what are the tools who help themselves as an individual. And that doesn't have to be whatever guru is teaching and or whatever helped me the most, you know. That is different for every individual. And I really wish for this whole mental health world that this is to be understood, that or that this gets understood, actually, that every person is in an individual and every person has a different personality and so different tools help them. Mm. And the only thing that we as therapists, guides, mentors, coaches, whatever, need to make sure is that we empower people. Empower people so that they can reconnect with themselves and find out what's helping them best.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for saying it like this. That's really so powerful when you get it. Like, just maybe you listening, you guys, just go over it again and let it sink deeper into yourself, because this is what it comes back to, I feel, you know, reconnecting with ourselves and self-empowering ourselves.
Yeah.
So we know what's good for us. We know what we have to do, and not because someone tells us that this or that method is good or.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put down any of our great teachers, of course, but this is what they experienced and this is what helped them and maybe many more, but it can be different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very, very important.
Yeah.
Like stepping back into your own power and knowing what's helping you best.
Yeah, I love that. Just very briefly, because I think we haven't really, we touched on the work you're doing, the hypnotherapy, but mm-hmm. just for the people listening, very quickly, hypnotherapy, what is it? What can they expect?
So it's basically,
should they expect anything?
It's basically a mix of psychotherapy mixed with hypnosis. Just to put it out clear, hypnosis is not something that we see in the TV, like stage hypnosis and I send you down whatever a cliff. Hypnosis is a very natural state. That's the same state that we are in when we're daydreaming. And that's why everybody can access that state. It's super, super natural and the person is under full control. But hypnosis allows us to access the subconscious mind, which is our storehouse of all the memories, of all the inner beliefs and patterns and so on. Like all the memories that we consciously don't have access to. And so hypnosis actually allows us to easily access and go back to the root cause of the issue that we're experiencing in today's life. And when we're in the root cause, we're basically doing psychotherapy. So we're doing emotion release, we're doing inner child work, we're doing shadow work, we're doing gestalt therapy, mm-hmm. parts therapy, whatever approaches we know from the normal psychotherapy. And we do that because when we make that former version of ourselves, so let's say it's a six-year-old Marie, if we help her in that situation in the six-year-old, and if we release all the emotions that are trapped there, the six-year-old Marie gets integrated into the today Marie, and that makes me today automatically more happy and healthy.
Yeah. I will, just because you brought that up, the inner child work, I have two episodes dealing a little bit more with inner child work. So just for the listeners, I'll link to it in the show notes too. But yeah, I don't want to take the focus of you and your work. So yeah, thank you for that. I think it helps to understand what you're doing and so just people know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I loved it, honestly. I think it was a very cool and deep conversation.
Me too. Yeah, I really just hope that so many people get inspired by it to actually set out on that healing journey, but also to really set out on that journey to reconnect with themselves and to find the that one decision within themselves to for their own good. So to leave the job, to leave the relationship, the family, to go on and whatever your soul is desiring to do.
Thank you for these beautiful closing words. I don't want to add anything.
Okay.
Except for thank you so much for being here today, for inspiring people to live their freedom and become empowered. So you know I'm saying things anyways, but yeah. Thank you so much again for your time. I do appreciate that so much.
Thank you for having me, Kat.
I really hope that you enjoyed this episode, that it inspired you to listen to your own inner calling, your own truth, your nature. And if you did enjoy this episode, please share it with friends or with people you know who would be inspired by this episode, who might be in a transition phase in their own lives and maybe not knowing what to do or just needing that final kick to make the right decision for them. Then please share it with them. Send it over on email or WhatsApp or share it on your social media. I'm very, very grateful for that as well. Tag Marie, tag me, and if you feel called, also leave me a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you so much, and hear you next time.